A graphic novel, a TV show. Well, it's not TV, it's HBO. And will this thing succeed? And by how much, man? And some might cheer and some might scoff, because it's Damon Lindelof. But either way, we're off to watch some Watchmen. Watching Watchmen, talking Watchmen, analyzing Watchmen, and maybe arguing over Watchmen.
Welcome to Watchmen Watch, a podcast about HBO's Watchmen. Who watches Watchmen Watch? We watch Watchmen Watch as we watch the Watchmen on HBO. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete. That's a lot of watching.
That'll be easy for you to say next time.
Yeah, no problem. I have it all scripted down and definitely remember all of it. No problem at all.
For those of you listening at home, he doesn't have it scripted. He was just staring at us with crazy bugged out eyes because it was a lot to say at once.
Now, we do have an apology to make. Unfortunately, yes. Our fourth co-host is not here today.
Yeah, Alan Moore is doing this podcast with us. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here today, and today only. He is overseeing, he's officiating a wedding between two hamsters in Northern Ireland.
Ooh.
So he has to be there for that.
He does a
lot of those animal weddings.
Yeah, he got ordained online. Did you know that?
Cool. That's really cool. It's a great way to do it.
Yes.
Are you an online minister?
No.
I am.
Are you?
I am.
Oh.
Really?
I can marry anything.
Great.
Wow. Anything?
You guys?
So this is going to be a podcast about Watchmen, the HBO show, which is showrun by Damon Lindelof. That's going to be debuting some point in October. As of this recording, we don't know the exact date. So here's how we're going to run the show. We are going to recap every episode of Watchmen as it happens on the podcast. But leading up to it, we're going to do a recap. We're going to do a review, both for ourselves and for you guys, of the Watchmen comic book of all 12 issues.
It's a crash course in Watchmen for everybody who wants to know. Know what's up with Watchmen before we get into the series, because the series, unlike the movie, the Zack Snyder movie was a very faithful presentation of the comic
books.
So we're going to get into that as well, but the HBO series is sort of a reinterpretation.
Right. We don't know a lot about it at this current time. Damon Lindelof and company have been very cagey about it. They've called it, as you said, a reinterpretation. Maybe it's a sequel. Maybe it's a sidequel. Maybe it's only using it as
maybe it takes place in between the panels of
the movie. That would be classic Scott McCloud understanding comic style.
Yeah,
that would be very exciting. So we'll see what happens with that. But it is worth reviewing because clearly based on the footage that they've released of Watchmen, it's going to have a lot of visual touchstones, character names, other things going on there. It's certainly been a while since I read Watchmen, so I'm excited to get back into it.
Yeah, me too.
I would like to say, though, that the teaser they released looks really amazing. I'm excited.
It does look fantastic. Here's what I think we could do on this first episode here. Let's talk about our experiences with Watchmen, and then also thoughts on Damon Lindelof as a showrunner, because he's definitely the driving force behind it. So let's start off with Watchmen. Pete, what is your experience with Watchmen? Obviously, you love the Zack Snyder movie. You watched that on a loop.
I did love the choice for Rorschach in the movie. I thought everything else was kind of slightly garbage. I, like most people, the first time I read Watchmen, my mind was blown, and I was really impressed by the writing and the art of that, and I thought it was really phenomenal.
I remember picking up Watchmen number 7, whatever the one with the perfume bottle on it is, in the comic shop when I was just like, I pulled it out of a bin. And I was like, oh, what's this? And I think I bought it and read it and just didn't know what was going on. And then years later, read the whole series in a trade paperback. And being like, oh, wow, there's so much more going on in this comic than in so many other comics I've read.
Yeah, I think I read it pretty late, actually. I definitely remember reading it as a trade collection, not in individual issues or anything like that. I think it was well into my second life as a comic book reader.
Because he died very briefly.
I drowned for a couple of days.
Yeah, because you're from the islands in Game of Thrones, where you have to. What is dead may never die.
Iron
You're an Iron Islander, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What is dead may never die.
Yep, that's me. You know me and my salt wives. Anyway, so I read comics as a kid, took a break for some of high school and college. And then
to play football.
Yeah.
To quarterback.
And then I had that injury.
Yeah, I know.
And then I picked up comic books again. And when that happened, I started reading a lot more trade collections, getting caught up on things that I should have read anyway. And Watchmen was one of those. And I thought, wow, this is great. This is a very good book. And from there, ended up reading a bunch of other Alan Moore books kind of in a row, including Miracle Man and other things.
So you Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
On a tear.
Yeah, you want an Alan Moore tear.
I think what's important
is too bad that he's not here. You could tell that to him.
No, I know. I was really looking forward to it.
So many great questions for him. He's fun.
Well, he'll be here next week.
Yeah, he made a real promise to us. Watchmen, if you haven't read the comic and you're listening to this, read some other comics first. This is one thing that a lot of people talk about with Watchmen. They're like, oh, Watchmen was my first comic book. I don't understand it. And it's like, of course you don't. Watchmen is really a postmodern. It sort of breaks down the comic book sort of mythos or the Justice League or the Avengers type characters and really reframes it and has you look at it in a more realistic context. The Boys that's just come out on Amazon. Sort of has that as a more modern version of that beyond Watchmen. Watchmen was the first to really sort of take a critical or postmodern look at comics.
And that's one of the things that I'm really hoping for from the TV show, that in the same way that Watchmen the comic was looking at comics that came before it and the history of comics and reframing it in such a smart, careful way, I hope they do that with the TV or film medium. You know, I hope they extend that in some way. Because that's, frankly, and I'm curious to see if we'll have time to get to the Zack Snyder film before we get into the TV show.
We will.
But one of the big faults for that is it straight adapted the comic book, and that just didn't work for me when I saw it.
Yeah, no, it was cool to see the visuals there, and it was shot well visually. But yeah, it didn't have any of this, what I was just talking about, sort of the density of ideas or like the actual take on what we were seeing. It was just sort of like a puppet show of the characters from Watchmen.
One thing I'm curious about is what's your guys' favorite part of Watchmen? Because there's so much different stuff. There's stuff in between chapters, different characters, different takes on things. Who, like, what was your, what was your favorite kind of part about it, or of your favorite character?
Tough question. I mean, it's such a quilt of these characters. It's hard to pick out, I guess. I mean, I guess I like the Owlman Silk Spectre romance.
Night Owl.
The Night Owl Silk Spectre romance.
That's the thing that feels the most human, probably. Yeah. I mean, purposefully so.
Yeah.
I think I like that as well.
They're sort of the heroes.
Can I make a guess, Pete?
Yeah.
Was it Rorschach?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
That's going to be a problem. I would also say Night Owl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the one that I related to the most, certainly, because it was hey, this is kind of a nerd. Yeah.
I also really liked the pirate stuff. That was really cool.
All the additional back matter is also the first time in a comic I'd encountered that, where I was like, oh, look at all this text. It's like really deepening the story.
Yeah, you read the Black Freighter stuff, Pete?
Some of it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we'll get into that. We'll see what happens.
Everyone's favorite part.
Let's talk about Damon Lindelof. He has worked on a bunch of shows, most notably Lost and The Leftovers. As you guys know very well, Justin and Pete, Lost is my favorite TV show of all time.
Yep. Even the end.
Even the end, which
oddly,
I love.
Yeah.
Leftovers is great.
Yeah.
Did not love the first season of that, but it eventually figured itself out in season two.
See, I even like the first season of
really?
Leftovers. Yeah.
Do you know what held me back about that is I read the book, and I love the book, and it's so different than the book. It tweaked it in weird ways that I wasn't crazy about, where it felt like...
I didn't read the book.
Yeah, it felt like it was missing the point that was made in the book. The book is very satirical. It was very funny. The first season of Leftovers was extremely serious to a fault.
Yes, it was.
And then it figured itself out. It figured out a more humanity, and those last two seasons of Leftovers are glorious. What do you guys think about Damon Lindelof's shows? Pete?
Super cool guy.
Have you seen either of them?
No.
What?
No, you've never seen Lost?
Nope.
I was obsessed with Lost. I feel like, and this is a good thing, I think.
Brian K. Vaughan, right? Also worked on
that. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
I feel like The Lost was sort of like, I think he's a great maker, teller of stories, maker of television. Lost felt like sort of a teenage.
It's called a telemaker.
Yeah, that's what it is. Telemarketer. Lost felt like a sort of a teenager, the teenage show where it was like,
angst.
Well, it's like, it's a little bit herky jerky. It's those scripts they would write that in the like the action lines, it would be like, and then he pulls out a motherfucking diamond, and it, like all the in the motherfucking hatch finally fucking opened, and like that's not swearing. How most people write scripts.
That's how I write scripts.
I know.
You're talking about the actual scripts,
the actual real scripts.
Okay.
Yeah, had like all this crazy language in the action lines.
Nice.
And stuff. So it felt like a little bit all over the place, not really knowing what it was the whole time, and that's why I think the landing. Or the ending didn't stick the landing for most people.
Okay.
And got a little wonky where it's sort of like, oh, I'm ready. I'm an adult. And it's like, no, you're not. You're a weirdly ended teenager. while Leftovers definitely felt like, oh, this is mature. It's grown up. This feels like maybe it's an even more like experienced, wise understanding of television and how to tell these stories. And with this great material of Watchmen to use as fodder.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's my theory.
Okay. Huh. All right.
So you're saying, though, that they didn't keep all that cool stuff in the script and put it in the show?
No, it was that was literally describing what visually you're seeing when you're reading the script.
So I will say, to your point.
To your motherfucking point,
Damon Lindelof put out this bonkers note on Instagram back when they announced Watchmen, where he was explaining himself, and he was talking about how it was so formative for him as a read. It was something that connected him to his father. He felt like it never should be adapted. They should never do that. That's not something they should make into a TV show. But then the more he started to think about it, the more he was like, I'm so scared of this. I just got to try it, even if I'm going to completely fuck it up. And great. Everything that I've heard about it, from the casting to what they've done behind the scenes with the writing and directing staff, they've been so careful and cognizant of what Watchmen means while still knowing it is 2019. We're doing this TV show in 2019. What does it mean that we are doing it now? Yeah. And that comes down to one of the things that I think is frankly excellent. And this is why I think it's interesting, and it's going to be interesting for you to watch, given that, Pete, your Rorschach is your favorite character, is Damon Lindelof at the Television Critics Association tour, which is something that happens twice a year out in California, gave an interview, and he talked about there is a gang of Rorschachs in here, and he was like, oh, yeah, they're the alt-right.
Aww.
Like straight up, like he didn't bounce
Rorschach
around it. He
wasn't
like, they're a metaphor for the alt right. It was like, no, they're an alt right.
Well, I mean, we're going to get into this in our next couple podcasts, but rereading the first issue, I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Rorschach's dialogue in his monologuing is alt right shit.
Yeah.
What?
What I think about it, this is my guess about it, is it's a lot of people taking his writings and using it the wrong way.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Cause he's never.
We'll talk about that when we get into the issues and everything. Cool. Any other things that you guys want to say about Watchmen before we wrap up this
episode?
Well,
now I'm fucking pissed. I don't want to see my favorite character turned into some fucking racist asshole.
Turned?
Yeah. Turned.
Interesting.
Let's definitely talk about that in the future. I'm excited. I'm excited to reread Watchmen and re-get into that whole thing. Even excited to watch the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to do all of that on individual episodes as they roll out. And then, of course, once the show starts, we're really going to get into that as well.
Yeah.
So very excited to see what that's all about. Right now, we are getting all the feeds live for this, but you can subscribe to the RSS at comicbookclublive.com. We'll have the feed right there. You're certainly probably listening to it right now if you're listening to this episode. And it should be live on iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. Very, very soon. A couple of other things before we go. You can check us out, patreon.com/comicbookclub, if you want to support this podcast more. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by, and we'll watch you watch The Watchmen. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. And remember, we recorded this podcast 35 minutes ago.
Alan just texted me. He's definitely going to be here next time.